2. Johnny looked at the tallnap. He shook his head sadly. He looked at the assemblage. They were leaning back, beginning to lose interest. For a while there, it had appeared that something would occur that would concern them. "My lords," said Johnny, "please do forgive this distraction from the main purpose of this meeting. This tallnap is absolutely demanding that we finish this minor concern of a raid upon a peaceful planet. So, with your permission, I feel I have no other choice than to settle this slight disturbance." "Yes, so well, go ahead. One doesn't see where this is going now, but go ahead. I suppose the tallnap will just keep interrupting, so go ahead." Johnny sighed. "Thank you, your lordships. You are very tolerant." Then he turned to Lord Slime. Johnny took a very firm stand with his feet. He had picked up the wand and was now tapping it in his palm. "Lord Slime," said Johnny, "for I believe that is what some call you, please produce the orders given to your admirals and captains." Slime laughed.
"You know very well an emissary cannot carry with him the whole files of a military establishment. Furthermore, although you, as a barbarian, would have no inkling of this, a Tallnep commander is at liberty to exercise autonomy on military expeditions."
"As I suspected," said Johnny. "There were no legal orders."
"I did not say that,"
hissed Slime. "I'm afraid you did," said Johnny. "I have no choice now but to proceed, for you are delaying more important proceedings." Johnny smacked the wand into his palm twice. It sounded like two pistol shots. There was an instant rush down the aisle as two uniformed technicians came, pushing a mine cart. The cart had been plated in gold. It looked very sleek. On it rested a projector of some size, and it too was gold-plated. It was an atmosphere screen projector. Its general use was to project pictures of mine shafts or tunnels. It used a projection light based on the same principle as an atmosphere armor cable, with a variation. The light, striking atmosphere ions, made them condense to greater or lesser degree and reflect back. By putting a stick for scale in the original scene, one could then take the projected picture and actually measure distances in it from point to point. It put, in this way, a three-dimensional picture on thin air. The technicians moved it into a place where it would project into the large, empty space to Johnny's left. They placed a multiple-button switch on the invisible table close to Johnny's hand. They bowed, about-faced, and withdrew. They had come in so fast and left so quickly that Lord Slime had not had time to get in an objection. Now he did.
"I must protest this display of foolish flimflam. I will not permit you to hoodwink this august body further."
"Slime," said Johnny severely, "it will do no good for you to seek to suppress evidence when you well know it will work to your disfavor." Mutters from the emissaries.
"Sit down, Slime. Be quiet. This looks like it will be interesting." "Hush, Slime."
Johnny pressed two buttons. The spotlight at the door went out, and simultaneously a picture flashed on it. It was a three-dimensional, remarkably detailed close-up of Roof Arsabagger. He seemed to the emissaries to be standing right there in what had been empty space. There was no sound. But they had never before seen a mine atmosphere projector, for the simple reason that the Cyclos never marketed entertainment gadgets, and this was mining equipment. Roof Arsabagger's face was patched with the sores of disease. His fangs were black, and one was broken. He was dressed in something that looked like it had been discarded from a slum. It was part of a long series of pictures shot by pilots flying air cover at the Purgatoire River. It had been taken with a radio telephoto camera. The shots had been left in Johnny's room to help do the briefing of the time he had been out of action. Johnny said, "Is this man a member of your government? Now answer carefully, Slime. Is this a minister of any department, an official of the military?" Several emissaries tittered. The figure was so disgusting that if this were a member of the Tallnap government, well... Slime was stung. He looked at the picture. What a disgusting creature. Vomitous. Eyes still dazzling a little bit from the lights flashing off the devil, he pawed at his filter and stared again. Was there something vaguely familiar about that figure? That he was peering so hard made it seem that maybe the Talnep government was composed of such riffraff. Several emissaries laughed out loud. That did it. Slime lashed out, "Of course not. That filthy creature would be thrown out of any government department on Talnep. You are insulting me. You are insulting Talnep. You are running a calculated campaign to degrade the dignity and importance of my office and my planet. I must protest."
"Quiet," said Johnny soothingly. "Just pay attention here. You have said he is no part of your government and has no official capacity. Is that right?"
"Absolutely. If you think..."
"Then," said Johnny, "what is he doing giving orders to Quarter Admiral Snowleader?" He pressed another button. The camera seemed to draw away. Motion occurred in the scene. The bridge of the capture came into view, along with the diamond with the slash, the Talnep insignia. And there was Quarter Admiral Snowleader facing the horrible creature Roof Arsabogger. Johnny touched another button. Sound came on.